So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It has fool's gold written all over it. Cupic Saconia, middle of the mall. And yes, is Drake May playing good football, Stephen Anthony and Ryan Terry? Absolutely. And I would like to attest his great play to one specific person that I know too well, Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. Give me the Indianapolis Colts. Because the same questions that I have for Indianapolis, or should I say Carly Ursay's Indianapolis coach, she's doing a damn good job with that. When you talk about them, the same questions still arise when you're talking about the New England Patriots.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That is Cam Newton from last week. The Patriots are fool's gold, middle of the mall, cubic zirconia. Two working theories. Cam Newton is just upset with how bad he was in New England and how people clowned him in New England, so he doesn't want to give New England any kind of credit. One good theory.
Yeah.
Second theory, he is a very pro Bill Belichick guy, because even at his worst, Bill never threw Cam under the bus, never benched him. And so in a weird way, by not giving this Patriots team a lot of credit, you're also defending Bill. I think both are pretty good theories.
He's riding with Bill.
Yeah, but either way, I mean, he really thinks they're fool's gold after beating the Bills and the Bucks. But he does.
That's what he thinks.
I shouldn't say he feels that way. He's saying that.
But then it also matters who he actually believes in. Like, if he believes in the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills because they've been there and done that, and the Patriots and Broncos and Colts have not, at least he's consistent. I personally would disagree with that, but at least that would be consistent.
Yeah.
And I subscribe to theory one. I think he just hates Patriots fans. He had to deal with Patriots fans talking about how he couldn't throw, which was true.
He couldn't throw.
No, but I'm just saying, I bet he doesn't like Patriots fans. That's my working theory on this, but he might be riding for
Bill.
People
liked him early.
He may have something with Drake May, which the Twitch chat points out. This is a good takeaway. I hadn't thought of this. It's funny how Drake tried to show, and I don't have it right in front of me, it scrolled past, but like tried to give Cam credit by paying homage with the Superman and being like, he was my favorite player. In fact, once Carolina got rid of him, I'm not really even a Panthers fan anymore.
Great line.
All Cam does is rip him. And now Drake May's like, I'm not really sure what show he was on, which I have a theory on that too. And now Cam's like crying about it. Like, that's actually unbelievable.
So he was asked about it today. So they're doing a live first take. You got Stephen A. Smith's there, Ryan Clark. I forget who the host is now that Molly's out of there, but they're all there. They're at like Bethune-Cookman today, live show in a gym. So you might hear some of the audience in there a little bit too.
Okay.
But they play him the question from Monday on WEEI Afternoons when Drake May was on with Andy Hart and the fellas.
Cam Newton said the Patriots are fool's gold. That was his words, not mine. Do you hear those things? Do you react those things? Any comment on that?
Oh, no. I don't even know what show he's on. You know, I think they get paid to make remarks and, make certain comments. So, just worried about what people in our organization think and worried about what we think and my teammates think. And, everybody's going to have different opinions. So we should go out there on Sunday and worry about ourselves.
Floor is yours, Cam. Go ahead.
Ooh. Let me
let me.
He's gonna get him.
Oh, let me. I got to stand on business right here. You know what I'm saying? Because I need him, as in Drake May, to understand this. Now, being in this position as a member of the media, there's a lot of things that are not always done.
Okay, so just stop real quick.
So he's standing up.
So far he said nothing.
He's
just stood
literally
up.
Standing on business. Yeah. He's making a show of it.
Well, I do like that, though. If you're going to stand on business.
You literally need to stand on business.
You don't sit. No, that's
a good point. That'd be insane. So he's standing on business, and now he's getting ready. He's trying to come up with a response to this.
Okay, good.
Which I'm sure they didn't surprise him with. He's had days to think of a response.
I think that's the first time he heard it.
Maybe.
I'm guessing they just played it for him out of nowhere. Yeah.
Okay.
Are not always done, and it's always this. Things can be taken out of perspective. Things can be taken out of context. Mm. Now, I did say the Patriots are fool's gold.
Right. Mm. What was taken
and
out
I'm going to stand on that. I was referring to the fact that it was a question that was asked. Does the AFC now go through the Patriots or New England?
Uh-huh.
I said fool's gold. Why did I say fool's gold?
We're just now repeating ourselves.
I'm wondering
asking
this.
The question. You guys remember the original question? I'll tell you what the original question was. Why did I answer it that way? Let me tell you why I answered it that way.
We played you the full clip. Hart said fool's gold. He's now saying he said fool's gold.
He did.
And he's saying he was taken out of context.
But he says they're fool's gold.
Then he's like, but I didn't
say question
that.
Was.
But I'm standing on business. I'm not trying to worm out of this. I'm standing on business. But it was taken out of context.
Does the AFC run through New England? Fool's gold. I did say that, but it's also taken out of context.
The Patriots or New England. I said fool's gold. Why did I say fool's gold?
Why?
Because there's not a soul in this beautiful gymnasium that will say they will take Drake May over a wild card winner in Patrick Mahomes.
Is that true?
Well,
I don't know if there's not a soul in there. Would I personally take the Patriots?
One person wooed.
Yeah. Would I take the Patriots over the Chiefs? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So maybe he might be onto something there. But was that your argument when you called them fool's gold?
The Chiefs, again.
So you're taking the Chiefs over the Patriots. That doesn't make the Patriots fool's gold. The Chiefs beat pretty much everybody the last 5-6 years.
Also, now we'll get to which teams we want the Patriots to face the least to the ones we want to face the most.
Yeah, it's
but
a good
as
segue.
Of right now. Yeah. Kansas City's not even in the playoffs.
Correct.
So it's not running through them as of this moment.
Well, and if the Patriots are the one seed, the Chiefs would have to A, get in the playoffs, B, win a game, and then I guess C, actually be a low seed to then in turn get the one seed.
So,
but whatever.
So far, fool's gold.
Fine.
So if you're not if you're not the number one, if you're not the pick, then you're fool's gold. You're fake team.
Right.
Everybody else is a fake team.
I guess,
One Super Bowl winner, all 31 fake teams.
I don't think he's finished, though.
Okay, no, he's not.
Okay,
no,
good.
He's not.
All right, good.
In Lamar Jackson. Drake May. Respectfully, you're having a great season. But I also put Drake May in a position where it's like, yo, we don't really know, similar to Indiana Jones. So to the reporter that asked the question, that was a great job because columnists typically do these type of things just to poke the bear. But this is merely a warning. Mm. Don't keep poking this bear.
Okay. Oh, so he did kind of rip EI a little bit. I was
once
waiting for
that. Once he got there at the end, so what did he refer to Hart as, a journalist?
A bear.
A bear? Well, no, he's the bear. Don't poke him.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
Bear.
He's the one
Cam
poking
Newton's
the bear.
The big
sorry.
Grizzly bear.
Yeah, sorry, you're
that
right.
was a great job because columnists typically.
Columnist.
He's a columnist.
Columnist Andy Hart asked the question, which wasn't even a question. It was just, hey, did you hear what Cam said? I'm sorry. I guess that is a question, but it's really just taking what Cam Newton said. But he's like, don't ask him about that.
Yeah.
Cam's like, I would rather just like say it into the air and not have the people I'm talking about ever hear it.
Right.
And so Hart was just like, hey, what'd you think of this? And he's like, I don't know what show he's on. And then he's like,
which
a whole back and forth about fool's gold. Because you remember, that was the one where the rant was, you got to be the best, you got to beat the best. And then it's like, well, they did just beat Buffalo. And he's like, twice.
Okay.
You're like, okay, dude.
Okay. At least he did finally get to a little bit of like
now
indirect ripping of WEI.
Yeah. Don't use my words against me. Don't take exactly what I said, and then I even stood on business after the fact. Don't use my words.
I wonder if he knows how short Andy is, because he could stand on.
He could easily.
He could stand on Andy Hart.
Oh yeah,
like
easily.
Yeah.
He probably saw him in the locker room back in 2020. Oh no, probably not. They weren't allowed in there.
Maybe not.
COVID Pats.
Good point.
Yeah, he actually has never seen any.
He's been angry at all the columns he's been writing all these years, just sitting there stewing.
Cam Newton was a guest on this station for a whole year. He was on Greg's show. He was a great guest. And something's happened to him. He's lost his mind here.
Yeah, I mean, Patriots broke his brain a little bit. He's angry at Patriots fans. Riding for Bill. The hats are too tight.
He's got tight hats.
Maybe. Let's just take a step back for a second.
Okay.
Because I do think Drake May was kind of parroting something similar that Vrabel said to the Greg Hill show on Monday morning, where Vrabel had a similar line. Like, I don't even know where these comments are coming from. He didn't say it specifically about Cam. But I think May is doing what the players have been doing this year, listening to their head coach and kind of parroting it. And I think he was a little clunky in how he did it. Do we really believe that Drake May doesn't know what show Cam Newton's on?
He may not. I mean, would you have known?
It's his favorite player.
It's not anymore.
No, but it was. He has no idea what show he's on. Like, come
honestly,
on.
I don't know.
He probably knows what show he's on, I would imagine.
Yeah, but he's not on the show like all the time. Like,
he's on like once a week, and it's 5 months ago.
I honestly wouldn't know what show he was on.
I bet
he
knows.
It's like our job to cover this stuff. I think like if you're like Stephen A. Smith, like he's more synonymous with that show. They have so many different hosts popping in there. So no, I don't know. I bet there's 53 guys in that locker room. I bet there are some that know everything that's said about everybody on their team and like are super interested in that, and they have people in their family that tell them. I bet there are some that for sure don't know. Christian Gonzalez didn't know the show that he was on every week. He was on with that. It took him 8 weeks to learn our names.
It's one of those things where like you know.
Still don't think he knew. I think he had some help.
That's a great point. Yeah, he did a phone hit for a whole year. Didn't know our show.
Good point.
I know he's on ESPN is what that should be.
Okay.
That show.
Okay. Yeah. He at least knows that.
Yeah. So semantics.
I don't think Drake May was trying to be dismissive. I just think he was kind of trying to follow on Vrabel's coattails, and he messed it up.
It's Christian, you come on this show every single week here on WEEI. What is the name of this radio show?
Pass.
Couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you.
That was a month into doing interviews?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you is a sneaky great way to answer.
Couldn't tell
Not
you.
Not just like, I don't know. You could give me a million guesses and I couldn't tell you.
For $10 million, I don't have an answer. I couldn't even muster up a guess.
That was a better answer than I remembered.
That was pretty good.
You got me there. That's a good point. Yeah.
Those guys have no
idea. But he should know he's at least on ESPN.
Yeah.
I bet he knows he's on ESPN.
But it really doesn't matter where the comment was coming from. It's just a former Patriot, happens to be Drake May's former favorite player, a guy who won the MVP. Like, we're talking about MVP. You could trash Cam Newton's career all you want. He was an MVP. So it's really more that. Like, every once in a while, like, former players come out of the clouds with something. Doesn't matter where it's from.
Right.
Like, if they might go to Twitter or Instagram and say something and make fun of a player, like, it still gets brought up.
Yeah. I mean, look.
But then Cam Newton, like, a weird way. So he's like, I got no disrespect for Drake May. Your team is fool's gold. And by the way, hey, reporter or hey, columnist, don't do that again. Like, what? What a weird thing.
Yeah, well, I guess Hart's going to clap back today at 2, right?
I think
he has to.
Yeah, of course. Next Thursday, next Thanksgiving. So 2 Thursdays from now, they can find out what Cam Newton said.
Yeah, just keep this song and dance going once a week for the rest of the year season.
Yeah, I think you got to clap back.
Yeah.
Unless
what? Oh, you think you... Oh, I don't think you're suggesting chicken. Are you calling him a chicken?
No. I would hope Andy Hart is clapping back at 2.
I would recommend he not stand on business, just because people would be like, "Is he still sitting? Yeah. What is he doing?"
Maybe get 2 or 3 businesses to stand on Hart is what maybe I would do.
A ladder,
so
you can look at Cam Newton in the eye.
So stay tuned for that at 2 here on WEEI. Meantime, Keith, before we get into your feedback on this, you can always jump in 617-779-7937. We thought it would be a good exercise to go through and rank the teams that you would want to play the least to the most.
Yep.
If you're the New England Patriots, we decided to look at the other teams in the top 10 in the AFC, teams with like a real playoff chance. So crossing out the Dolphins and the Bengals and teams at the bottom of the AFC.
Yeah, these are the teams that are two ways to look at it. You could call them the in-the-hunt teams, or also any team that doesn't have a losing record. So there's a few teams in there that are 500, but all the teams that are...
That's probably the best way to say it. Everybody who's 500 and above in the AFC, reasonable potential playoff matchups for the Pats.
So there's 10 total. Pats are one of them. Boom. We have a list of 9.
Number 1 is the team you want to avoid. Number 9 is the team you want to play. You want me to go first on this
one? Sure.
Okay. I would least want to play, number 1 on my list, the Kansas City Chiefs. That is the team. Like, if that's Cam's point, I think he's onto something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to play the Chiefs. If they're in the playoffs, if they're in the dance, I don't want to have to match up against a team that always goes to the AFC title game, usually goes to the Super Bowl, and when they're there, typically wins it. That's not a team I want.
So everybody else is fool's gold.
Yeah.
They're the only non-fool's
gold.
I mean, if that's
his stance on it, there's a lot of teams that are fool's gold.
Yeah.
Numbers 2 and 3, and I put a lot of thought into the order on this.
There can be no ties.
No. I put the Ravens over the Bills, but I have them very close. The Patriots have already beaten Buffalo. I feel like the Ravens are on to something, and maybe deep down in the recesses of my mind, I'm still holding on to that Ravens Super Bowl pick. So Chiefs are 1, Ravens are 2, Bills are 3. After that, I have the Broncos number 4. I have the Colts number 5. I really don't believe in Daniel Jones and that offense, but I got to give him more credit than some of these other teams on the list. I respect that Texans defense. I want to see it tonight. I have them number 6. I have the Chargers number 7. Maybe that's an overreaction to how bad they got beat by Jacksonville, but I can't get that out of my head. Steelers 8. I give them like half credit for beating the Patriots earlier this year. Jags number 9.
How much do the Patriots playing a lot of nickel defense factor into your rankings?
You know what? I didn't actually
consider that.
So Chiefs I want to avoid the most. Jaguars I want to play the most. Keith, give me your list.
All right. Similar yet different. I'm going to have the Kansas City Chiefs number 1 as well. It's the coach quarterback that you would obviously least want to face. They've had far and away the most success. And when the games are at the biggest, you can usually count on those guys. That's also why every week I've said, keep them out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. Like, even this week, they're taking on the Colts. I'm rooting for the Colts, even though I know that means they would also be 9-2. Fine. Figure that out the next few weeks. Keep Kansas City out of the playoffs.
We wanted the Broncos last week.
Yep.
We want the Colts this week. You should, anyway, want the Chiefs out.
Yep. Here's the big difference on our list. Number 2, Denver Broncos.
Oh!
Denver Broncos have the best defense in the league. There's also, depending on how things shake out, that game might even be in Denver, which would sort of add to it. But even if it's not, they have a great defense. And as the resident Bo Nix fan,
got back, threw it to the other team.
Well, that did happen, but he's moved past that.
This is why
he's just clutch. There's something up with this guy that if the game is close in the fourth quarter, it feels like he and Cortland Sutton or Troy Franklin are going to move down the field and find ways to score or kick that last second field goal or whatever. He's a little bit clutch. So give me the Denver Broncos 2. I will go Buffalo Bills 3 with Josh Allen. It is such a one-man team. It's really the opposite of Denver, where you're like, it's only Josh Allen. And then Denver, you're like, well, I don't know about Knicks so much. But I also, even though I don't like Sean Payton, I like him more than Sean McDermott. So that's another reason why I have Denver 2.
I would agree with that.
Buffalo 3. Lamar Jackson in Baltimore 4. So I think that probably should be the consensus top 4, and if people want to move that order, that's fine.
We have them in different orders, but those are our top 4s. I'm surprised you're so low on
Baltimore.
You know, comparatively low.
Yeah.
No, just on Lamar. You're like you're a bigger Lamar guy than me.
I do like Lamar. He didn't look right. He's also on the injury report again. Their defense is worse than the other two, way worse than Denver's. I think even a little bit worse than Buffalo's. I have the Colts 5. I mean, their record is good. They have beaten a couple of good teams. Jonathan Taylor obviously would present some problems, so I have them at 5. I have the Chargers 6. I went back and forth on this one. I just think another coach who's won big games in Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, I think is good. I know most people around here think he stinks. And receivers have had good games against the Patriots defense, and the Chargers have a handful of receivers who are pretty good.
A lot of good receivers on that team,
So I put them 6. Then I'd go Houston 7. I think Houston, even though they may not make the playoffs, their defense makes them a lot tougher to face than the next two teams. Then I go Pittsburgh 8 and then Jacksonville 9.
Okay, so honestly, our lists were pretty close.
It's really I'm higher on Denver, and you're a little higher on, or a little lower on the Chargers, I guess.
No, and I'm lower on Denver than you are.
Yeah,
higher on the Ravens. That's really the big difference there. We both have the Chiefs number 1. Both of us would love to face the Jaguars. Tonight is an interesting Thursday night game, I think.
Big time.
You know, not only just you're rooting against Buffalo, but I think you just said, Josh Allen is their whole team right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the team. So is Josh Allen going to struggle with that Texans defense? That defense has been awesome this year. And when we did the exercise yesterday, which, again, people just won't stop talking. I'm surprised this didn't come up on First Take, the Jones and Keith standings.
Yeah, what the hell?
I'm surprised. Maybe they haven't gotten there yet. That's maybe the E block.
They're talking to Reggie Theus right
got
now.
Got it. Well, I'm sure it's after that.
Yeah.
But when we were doing the Jones and Keith AFC playoff standings yesterday, Houston really they don't really have any bad losses. So they're in a lot of these games. They're like Denver light. Their defense is awesome.
Yeah. And Stroud's missed a couple
games.
So
that's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Stroud tonight, I might even pick the Texans straight up in this game. And I certainly would pick him to cover.
That'd be juicy.
Davis Mills, I don't know that I can go there.
Long neck.
But I would, if it's a neck competition, I'm picking him every time. I would pick.
If it's like a neck off in overtime. You had to bring your longest neck.
Tiebreaker?
Yeah.
They're tied at the end of overtime. The quarterbacks just lay on the field and they measure their necks.
They're like, sorry, guys. The Buffalo Bills just signed Merton Hanks.
He walks
damn
out.
It. Like, ah, you got us there.
I think Davis Mills still clips him. I think he might.
Yeah.
So
huge neck.
I want to see that defense tonight against Josh Allen. Do they give him problems? Do they not? But I have a little more respect for Houston. That just feels like a nightmare matchup, too. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, it's wild card weekend. You're the two seed, let's say. And you get the Texans who just sneak in as the seven. I'm not saying I'd pick Houston, but that just feels like a nightmare war of a game that I would want to avoid.
But Houston, this one is, so you could make the case with that Colts-Chiefs game. You could really argue either side. There's no argument here. If the Texans win, you're one step closer to winning the division, and you're one step closer to keeping Baltimore and or Kansas City out.
They move to a game over 500.
So I'll give you the defense, and Nico Collins is really good, so they're not like a pushover. But if Houston can win this game, they're 6-5. They still, as of right now, have the tiebreakers over Mahomes and Lamar. Like, that'd be huge.
617-779-7937. We'll post these at Jones and Keefe. Who do you want to avoid the most in the AFC? Who do you want to play the most? Both Keefe and I actually agree on the top and bottom of the list. We both don't want to play the Chiefs. We both do want to play the Jacksonville Jaguars, although some disagreement in there. Ravens, Bills, and Broncos. You can weigh in on this on the phone, 617-779-7937. We'll go on the clock at high noon. We'll give you the perfect Thanksgiving day. Keith's perfect Thanksgiving, my perfect Thanksgiving. We want to hear from you as well. We have a Key for Madness most Thursdays at 12:45. We'll do that today. Plus, we'll talk to Taylor Kyles coming up about a half an hour from now at 11:45. So stay.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune for it. So that was Alex Cora on Foul Territory yesterday with AJ Pierzynski.
Yep. Everybody's favorite.
Just chatting it up.
Yeah.
Often with Alex Bregman.
Uh-huh.
What should we make of that, Keith? Is that a good sign he's coming back? Is that...
Well, yeah.
Is that Alex Cora's, like, excuse? Like, if we don't sign him, like, I was doing my part? Like, what exactly is that? Because... people would tell me the whole reason Bregman was even here was Alex Cora. So if they're talking and they have a good relationship, then Cora should be able to bring him back, right? And if he doesn't,
yeah.
Is that on Cora?
It's not on Cora because we got to see what the final money ends up being. I always thought of Cora as like a tiebreaker and maybe one of the reasons you got him in the first place. You know, last year, Bregman had...
I, by the way, think that's a fair way to characterize
okay.
it. It was like, if the money's close enough, could Cora push it over the end
yeah.
line? Sure.
Now, the problem is, if the Tigers are interested, and maybe he has a really good relationship with A.J. Hinch from Houston, and now the money's the same, and now you don't really have that tiebreaker, or now like you need to find... What's the second tiebreaker? Is it division record? What is it? So...
Neck.
I just think it... well, I don't like Bregman's chances then.
No, I don't either.
But I think he...
yeah, he does. He's got kind of a squatty neck going
yeah,
on.
He's
yeah,
not gonna win true. That. He's good. Not going to win that
no,
one.
That's a good point.
But he should, you know, Cora should do whatever he can, but it's not going to be up to Cora to offer $40 million a year, right? So, like, let's say.
Okay, well, just I hope people out there are listening because there's a lot of people who tell me that Breslow gets no credit and Cora just signed him. Like, there's a lot of people
no,
who say that.
Not me, though. I think Breslow had a really good offseason. Now, there was the back and forth on that one player specifically who wanted him and who didn't. Right, the report was like Cora did, Breslow didn't, and then ultimately they got him. And maybe part of that was Breslow being like, "All right, you are the manager of this team. Let's get you a player that you want." And then that led to the whole season and Devers being out. But as far as like you know, Crochet and Chapman, that's 100% a Breslow thing and not a Cora thing.
That's what I think.
But no, I think if anything. Cora should be talking to Bregman all the time and be like, hey, like this is a good place to be. Like, look what we did in year one. Like, he'd be your best recruiter. I'd rather have Cora talking to him than Breslow talking
well,
to him.
Well, that's true. I mean, look, I'm Bres Pro. You know me.
No doubt.
But his interpersonal skills are not the strongest. So, yeah, Cora should be the face of that for sure. I generally think it's a good sign. Like, is it good or bad? I think it's a good sign. It doesn't mean they're going to land him. I'm not saying it's predictive of anything. But I'd say that's better than they're not talking.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Cora's willing to volunteer that up, maybe there's an ulterior motive. Guys, I was doing my part. I was talking to them. If they don't pony up the money, don't come look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And like with him, I think you always have to factor that in. But I'd say that's a good sign. I don't think it means it's airtight he's returning. I wouldn't jump to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the $40 million. I heard a lot of discussion this morning.
They were chopping it up this morning on how much to give Bregman.
Curtis goes to Wiggy, what's the difference between 30 and 40 million? Wiggy goes 10 million,
nailed
which I did think was a
I
good
would
answer.
Have to agree
I mean,
with
I was with Wiggy on that. Two-part question, Keith.
All right. I'll give you a two-part answer.
What's the difference? No. do you think Bregman will get $40 million a year on the open market?
No.
Okay. If you're the Red Sox and you had to, would you give him $40
million? Yes.
Me too.
If I'm still getting... like Pete Alonso and Joe Ryan. I'm not doing it if that's like my big only free agent
splash
signing.
If that precludes you from another move.
Right.
Okay.
It shouldn't. We always have to do this like prerequisite. Like it shouldn't. They should be able to, they're the Red Sox. They should be able to get all these guys, but they just aren't. Unfortunately, John Henry's not going to do that. But that's where I would draw the line. You have to make sure that I'm spending it somewhere else. Like in a grand scheme of things, they were about to pay him $40 million this year.
Well,
so what should I care about that?
That's why I don't think the $40 million.
If he opted in, he was making $41 million this year and next year.
That's also why. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Would I give him the $40 million? Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Yes, I would. He was going to make it anyway if he opted in. That's exactly what I was going to say.
But then don't tell me your offseason is Alex Bregman and Mackenzie Gore. No offense to him. But if you're like, that's what we got, we're going to have like a little press conference. I'm like,
right. Buy your season tickets.
That guy was already on the team. People already own his jersey. Like, that's not a new guy. You just brought back the guy who opted out of the deal that you gave him a year ago. So, like, I'd be happy that he's back, but you can't take, like, a victory lap for signing Alex Bregman.
So, look, I don't think he's going to get $40 million. I think the Red Sox should give it to him. They were already going to pay him $40 million this year.
Mm.
So, I think that's what could happen and should happen, but it should not preclude them from Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman. Like, this either-or that Morosi painted earlier in the week I thought was discouraging. It shouldn't be either-or. It should be both. And if I was going to pick one or the other, my pick would be Bregman. Yours was Alonso, correct? One
yes.
or the other?
Yeah, yeah, give me Alonso.
Like, again, it shouldn't be that way, but if that's what John Henry decrees and you got to pick one or the other, I would be on the Bregman side. Yeah. You're on the Alonso side. Meanwhile, you want to hear Alex Cora foul territory on Craig Breslow?
Yeah, I do.
I want to read between the lines on this a little bit. Here's his answer on my guy Breslow.
He did an amazing job last year. I know a lot of people don't give it credit, but if you look at the offseason we had last year, Chapman, Justin Wilson, Alex Bregman, Garrett Crochet, three All-Stars. Wilson was great, so let him be. Let him do the job. Obviously, he will ask me about how I see it. But at the end of the day, you know, we make decisions based on what we have to improve on our 40-man roster and our 26-man roster, and hopefully we can do that.
Hopefully. So I had, like, the whole thing was very, very complimentary right up until the end, but he's like, well, hopefully we could do that, which maybe is a throwaway line to wrap up an answer in an interview.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, hopefully he does his job and actually adds some players.
If you had to rank his relationships with Dave Dombrowski, Chaim Bloom, and Craig Breslow.
That one's pretty easy. It goes Dombrowski, then Breslow, then Bloom.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's pretty, like,
but
clear.
But it's closer to Bloom than Dombrowski.
Yeah. But I think there is truth to what Cora said. Like, what he did last year, you have to be happy with. And I'm sure he's annoyed about the trade deadline, too. But they're willing to trade some guy. Like, Chaim Bloom wouldn't have traded Kyle Teal. Like, you might not have had Garrett Crochet. Where the hell would this team have been if you didn't have Garrett Crochet? So I think it's sort of their relationship's probably getting better. I mean, that also helps when you make the playoffs and the team, you know, overachieves a little bit. So they got to be satisfied. They got to be happy with that. But you can't just, like, rest on what you did last year, right? Like, Cora's going to feel a certain way going into spring training, whether you have the middle of the lineup bat and a number two starter or if you don't.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not sold on what they're going to do. Like, I was pretty confident earlier this offseason, and I'm less confident hearing some of the reporting out there. Although we do have, you know, Jeff Passan linking them to all the big ticket free agents, which I want to circle back to. Real quick, Alex Speer wrote in the Globe, the Red Sox, according to multiple members of the organization, expect the team's offseason pursuits to match their rhetoric that the 2025 season represented a critical step forward but not an end goal. The Red Sox reached the playoffs, writes Speer, but don't believe they can run back their 2025 script and expect to compete for a World Series. Their goal is roster improvement. Mm. As such, it seems likely the Red Sox will spend beyond their payroll levels of this past year. That suggests at minimum $40 million in additional payroll. So that Speer, you know, he's plugged into ownership. So maybe that's positive, or maybe it's just, as he said, rhetoric. One more here, and then we can get to some phone calls. We have Taylor Kyles on the way about 10 minutes from now. Taylor Kyles from CLNS. Excellent Patriots beat writer there. Your guy, Jim Bowden, Keith?
Yeah, Ralph.
Ralph the Twitter egg?
What's he up to?
Here's what he thinks it would take to get Tarik Skubal.
Okay, now we're talking. What's he got?
Connelly Early.
All right.
Christian Campbell.
All right.
The password.
All right.
And some other righty pitcher, Christian Fauch, who I've never heard of.
They gone.
I mean, like.
Take him. For Tarik Skubal?
That's an easy trade.
Take him.
I wouldn't even care if they just got Skubal for a year, if that's the exchange, and then he just left in free agency. That's not a lot at all. Our buddy Matt on Twitter sent us, I think, a larger trade package to part with than this.
Yeah, no, I love that one. I mean, you could even throw in, if you wanted to, like Duran or Abreu, if Detroit wants one of those guys.
That's what Matt had actual big league talent on there, too.
But that's one where I like.
And I think he had you like Early better than Tolley. I prefer Tolley to Early, but he had Tolley in.
But I also
like
the idea of, like, keeping one of those guys. Like, don't dump them both. Like, keep one, but now you also have Skubal. And you could almost, even if you wanted to, I like Early more, but if you let the other team choose, make them feel like they're doing something, like. When the White Sox for Chris Sale, it's like you can have Benintendi or Moncada.
Yeah.
Now, neither ended up being great, but they chose Moncada. You're like, all right, fine.
Yeah, it gives them some autonomy.
Yeah.
And it makes it feel like you're working with them. When in reality, you're like,
we pick this guy.
Like, we don't care. Like,
take them both.
right, exactly. 617-779-7937. Our pal Matt's in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? No, I'm just a little, I'm a little tired of hearing Alex Cora, you know, with talk about how great Bregman was. I'm not dismissing the fact that he does have intangibles, and he was buying suits for rookies, but he's far removed from, you know, his best career of his, you know, banging on trash cans or his best year. I just think four or five year deal, he's cooked. And just one last thing with Drake May. What do you guys think about the chances that he doesn't need max money when he
zero
at the end of his rookie contract?
Yeah, I'm not worried about his contract.
I'm not worried about that right now, but I would just say zero, and I don't blame him at all for that. If he keeps playing like this, he should be when it's his turn.
You can't have this both ways.
The highest paid player.
You can't say he's the quarterback I'd start a franchise with. I'd take him over Joe Burrow, and then be like, but he needs to take a discount.
No, but take all the money.
They better pay him.
Yeah,
I think they will pay him, and if they don't, then Robert Kraft is going to hear about it. But I don't – look, I don't think there's any chance he doesn't have a max, to use Matt Rhode Island's wording there, contract. I disagree with him on Bregman.
I don't think he's completely washed. I get people being like, you know, he's walking away from $80 million. So is he expecting to get 4 years, $160 million? Like that, he probably shouldn't get that. But you just have to have the highest offer. And I don't know if, I don't think anybody is going to offer him that.
No, that's true. I don't think so either. One thing I agree with Matt on, though, is like, and I like the intangibles about Bregman. I think he's a winner in all these things. As the text line is pointing out, don't whistle past the Jones. We all know what you'd do for Bregman back here in Boston. That's true.
I know.
I do want him back here, and I'll do whatever it takes.
Mean, more than most.
I would say more than anybody else I've heard.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to Bregman, the whole like buying suits and fixing everybody's swing, that started to get nauseating even for me.
At the end
of the year,
they love the guy.
Well, as I've said, if he's so good at fixing everybody else's swing, he probably should have fixed his own in August and September when he came back.
He did in October.
Like spend a little bit. It was three games. Spend a little bit more
games.
Time. Spend a little bit more time fixing your own swing.
Yeah,
and maybe less of everybody else's. I'd feel better about that person.
Well, his hip was barking at him.
I guess
he knew what he needed to do. He just couldn't execute it.
617-779-7937. We go on the clock at high noon. We'll give you the perfect Thanksgiving. Keith, in 60 seconds, I'll give you my
perfect
Thanksgiving.
It's 1 week
away. In 60 seconds,
that's
true. Thanksgiving
is 1 week. We're 1 week and 1 hour away from Detroit Lions football on Thanksgiving Day.
Get ready for it. We'd be excited. Elbows deep in the dog show right now is where we'd be.
Yeah, definitely.
Macy's Day Parade.
Rooting for that Newfoundland who has no chance.
Long over.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll do that at high noon. Keith from Madness, 1245. Taylor Kyles, CLNS.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's on the way next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. A lot of Pats conversation today. Joe Burrow, will he play? Will he not play? We'll get back into that at high noon. We'll also go on the clock about 15 minutes from now and give you the perfect Thanksgiving. Keith's perfect Thanksgiving. My perfect Thanksgiving. Yours out there as well if you want to go on the clock as well. Plus, we have a Key for Madness for you at 1245. But joining us right now is our pal Taylor Kyles of CLNS. Welcome back to Jones and Keith. Taylor, we appreciate the time.
Appreciate you giving me the time. How we doing, fellas?
Oh, we're doing great.
Very good.
We've been talking quite a bit today about Joe Burrow, full participant at Bengals practice yesterday. He is still not activated off the IR. Bengals have a Thursday night game coming up against the Ravens on Thanksgiving. Do you expect him to play against the Patriots on Sunday?
I do. So Mike Petragway, who does a great job covering the Bengals for CLNS, he has put the chances pretty high that he actually thinks Joe Burrow will play, which makes sense, right? The Bengals are in a spot where they really can't lose another game if they want a shot at making the playoffs, kind of similar to a situation they were in last year. So it's kind of put up or shut up time. And if Joe Burrow is remotely healthy, even if it's not 100%, I think it's going to be hard not to play him. And we know the guy's a competitor, so he wants to be out there. So, yeah, in my preview that I'm working on for tomorrow, I am assuming that Joe Burrow is probably going to be the guy.
All right, so what kind of challenge is that then for the defense? No Milton Williams, obviously, but on the other side, no Ja'Marr Chase. So even if Burrow plays, what kind of challenge do you think that is?
Yeah, so Joe Burrow and Joe Flacco are somewhat stylistically similar, right? They're bigger guys. They want to push the ball downfield, would like to carve you up from the pocket. But Joe Burrow is a great athlete. We think of him as a pocket passer, and he really is one of the most foremost pocket passers in the league. But he's got legs, man. He can scramble. He can extend the play. And Joe Flacco is getting that ball out in under 2.5 seconds, which is like Tua Tagovailoa level fast. Whereas Joe Burrow, if he has an opportunity to make something happen and the pass rush hasn't gotten there quite yet, he'll do it if possible. So they're going to have to be very disciplined, the Patriots, when it comes to their pass rush. Keep him in the pocket, make him feel uncomfortable. And rather than just giving him lanes to escape, like we've seen when they play some other mobile quarterbacks, you got to make sure the priority is condensing the pocket and shrinking it in around him to force him to make plays from tight areas.
Not necessarily even on Sunday against the Bengals, who aren't the best rushing team, but specifically when you get tougher matchups coming out of the bye week, Buffalo and Baltimore over this next month, what does Milton Williams' absence do to that defense, and how much is it going to impact their defense without him over these next, 5 weeks, 4 games?
Well, I mean, he was one of the best interior pass rushers in football, so that's obviously a massive loss. And even though some of his numbers against the run don't look great, if you look at the tape, like, can he get moved by some double teams? Yes, he's, you know, not the biggest guy in the world. But his effort, his ferocity, he was clearly a very impactful player. That was a big reason they've been so successful at defending the run. So obviously a massive loss for them. But fortunately, they are one of the few teams in the league who has more than one dominant defensive tackle. So Christian Barmore had his best game last week, at least statistically, that he's had in, I think, over a year. And he really does look like he's starting to come on. And without Milton Williams, now Christian Barmore, he's really been playing more nose tackle because of Milton Williams. So taking on a lot of double teams. Now I'd expect him to be more of a defensive tackle and get more one-on-one opportunities where he has just looked dominant this year. So it is a big hit, but the Patriots are fortunate that they've got a Christian Barmore who can still dominate, and they've got good depth as well. Like Corey Durden's a really powerful guy who's made an impact, mostly as a run defender, but sneakily as a pass rusher as well. Kyrus Tonga obviously has blown away expectations as a nose tackle, though you don't really expect much from him as a pass rusher. And they've got some solid young depth as well. So it's not, I mean, Milton Williams is not a guy that you replace, but again, they are fortunate that they've got the depth where they can at least get a good rotation in there. And they're not totally kind of, you know, what they're not totally kind of in the, in a bad spot there.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, you had that one-on-one interview with Stephon Diggs. I'm curious, what was your biggest takeaway after talking with him?
Just the competitiveness from that guy, man. It was, when I asked him if there was any kind of advice he'd give to himself as a younger player, it really was just about his attitude. And, you know, that's the biggest thing, right? When he comes in, everybody knows Stephon Diggs for his performance, but also because at times maybe he's been a bit of a distraction. But really, it's pretty clear that that comes from him wanting to win. It's kind of similar to Matt Collins, honestly, where both of those guys have, I think, learned in their career that sometimes you got to dial it back a little bit because as fiery and passionate as you are, you still have to be a good teammate. And I think that's something he's clearly learned. Now he's in a system where he is the number one, but from week to week, you don't really know what his production is going to look like. And his priority is just winning and being able to contribute to this team's success. So that was pretty cool to see the insight into what it's like to be a guy who's achieved what he has and is able to reflect on his career and how he's kind of matured as a player.
He had a couple of drops against the Jets, and maybe a couple is, you know, being a little unfair to him, but they were uncharacteristic. He revealed yesterday that he broke his finger. Is there a correlation there, and is that something worth watching these next few games?
I wouldn't be surprised if there is, because like you said, it was a little uncharacteristic, the drop he had. Now, to be fair, that one on the deep throw, he had a safety coming in. I don't totally knock the guy for getting a little bit of alligator arms in that situation. But as Mike Vrabel says, you know, is it interesting or important? I think for right now it's interesting, kind of trending on potentially important. But I think if we get another game where we see some, like, odd plays from Stephon Diggs, we can chuck it into that important category. But for right now, I mean, he's a pro. These guys are gladiators. They fight through some pretty crazy stuff. So I don't think it's necessarily going to hinder his performance too much. He still caught some crucial passes last week, but definitely something to monitor.
What do you think the sweet spot is for Travion Henderson usage? Last week he had 24 touches, and you know, just his frame, you wonder if he's able to do that week in and week out, even with or without Ramondre Stevenson. What do you think it should be for Henderson?
So the Patriots running back situation, I think when Ramondre comes back, will still be fluid. Because Travion, as talented as he is, you want to maximize those opportunities and touches, but you also don't want him touching the ball like 20, 25 times a game. That's just a big workload for a guy who's about 5'10", 205 pounds. So I do think that you're still going to see him getting plenty of carries, especially this week. Like, this Bengals defense is very vulnerable to running backs. I think Ramondre continues to be that more downhill thumper type. And I think the ideal situation is they have something like a 50-50 split. But I also think that if Travion Henderson is in games where he has the hot hand and it's very obvious, and Ramondre Stevenson maybe isn't doing quite as much, staying on schedule, all those things, maybe we do see Travion in some instances get more of those touches and more opportunities with Ramondre as more of that third down back. But, I mean, the way that he's played Travion the past 4 weeks, I don't think it's like earlier in the season where they clearly have a lack of trust in him and had to really lean on Ramondre. He's established himself as obviously a dynamic player. So, again, I think it's going to be pretty even, but I also think they're going to adjust as the game goes on.
Taylor, before we let you go, we're going to go on the clock at high noon, and we'll give our perfect Thanksgiving day. I'm curious, specifically on your plate at Thanksgiving, what needs to be on there?
All right, so I'm not a turkey guy. I'm a glazed ham guy.
Oh.
So that's got to be there first and foremost. Oh, yeah. And then, I don't know, I have different Thanksgiving than I think some of your listeners. I'm a big collard greens guy. I love dressing or stuffing, mac and cheese, and then a little bit of cranberry sauce as well. So those are the must-haves on my plate. But get the turkey the hell out of there.
Wow.
I hate
wow.
it. I can't that stand is
not,
turkey.
We're not going to stand for that.
So does your will your family have both a turkey and a ham or only ham?
So my mother, bless her heart, was kind enough that she would make me a ham because she knew I didn't like turkey.
Wow.
But still made the turkey. Yeah, so okay. she Got really it. Went all out. And now my girlfriend Liz, our tradition is ham over turkey.
How about that?
Oh, but you get your own ham.
Yeah.
How about that?
A little side ham.
I was a lucky kid. Lucky kid.
Okay. Well, that's a unit of measure. That's $10 on this show is what that is. One ham. All right. Well, Taylor Kiles, we appreciate the time as always. Check out his work at CLNS. You can give him a follow on Twitter. Excellent stuff there at TKiles39. Taylor, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Likewise, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Taylor.
Taylor Kiles of CLNS. That was an excellent one-on-one that he had with Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that's great.
That's worth the view that he had a week or two ago.
Yep. Ham.
Ham guy.
Ham on Thanksgiving. I've heard like an Easter ham.
Yeah, Easter ham.
Easter ham.
People do ham on Christmas?
Yeah, I feel like Christmas is up for grabs. Like Christmas Eve is like the seven fishes thing, and you get wild with the fish.
Yeah, I saw that bear episode. That's not. Do you guys do the seven fishes?
So my family did. I'm not Italian, but my wife's family
they do the seven
Italian.
Fishes.
So yeah, they would. So
wow, certain,
yeah.
Sick brag, bro.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. So then, like this year, like my wife will try to do it. Sometimes you only get to five fishes. I'll be honest, there might only be five fishes, but like, it's still a lot of fishes.
That seems like we're half-assing it.
You might as well just get two more fishes. I know exactly what you're thinking.
How expensive is a fish?
Well, everything's expensive now.
Good point.
No, but Christmas,
tariffs.
I feel like
fish tariffs.
In years past, I feel like we've maybe even done like a Thanksgiving dinner on Christmas, just like redid turkeys.
Wow.
I think
I like that.
Yeah, that I think it changes every year. I think it could be different stuff.
Probably get a good deal on a turkey that time.
Probably
of year,
could.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Nice Christmas turkey.
Okay. Bring back the leftover fish from the night before, I guess, too.
Not right. A bad idea. That's a little preview.
Yeah.
From Taylor Kiles. We're going to go
just
on
the taste, if you will.
On the clock. The perfect Thanksgiving in just 60 seconds with Jones and Keefe next.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.